See, we've got some children here today. I forgot to bring a ball, but let me give you a story. Let's call a certain boy, his name is, let's call him David. David was 11 years old, and he was given a present. He was given a present, a colored ball. How many of you have a colored ball? All right. So he loved his present, and he decided to share it with his friends in the field. And so he brought his colored ball and gave it to his friends, and they threw it at one another. Catch. And one big boy took the ball and threw it so high up in the sky, and then it landed up at the edge of the field among some trees. And everybody said, "Oh." So they ran to catch, to find the ball. And they couldn't find the ball. But there was a hole at the foot of a tree. And one of the children put his hand inside the hole to look for the ball. That's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? Because there may be a snake. Another boy took a stick and tried to dig the hole for the ball. The boys could not find it. But there was one clever boy. He ran home and fetched a pail of water. And he poured that pail of water into the hole, and the ball floated up. That little boy became a sage, a wise man. So God gave us all a brain, and we have to use it wisely. Okay. Last week, we spoke about putting on a new dress of Chinese New Year, or the Lunar Year. And we remember we have to put on something. Instead of putting on new dress, we put on kindness with compassion. We put on a dress of humility. We put on meekness and forgiving one another. And we put on love. Today's text, we have to look at it and see how we can have a foundation when we put on love. In fact, in the text that we read, there are two portions, there are two scenes there. The first one, Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives, and the Pharisees and the people were trying to catch him up. And so what did they do? They brought a woman who was committed in adultery. And they defied Jesus, and they said, "Moses tell us that this man, this woman taken adultery in very act, and this woman should be stoned." Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? With the Pharisees, in the earlier part, they asked Jesus, "Shall we pay taxes to Caesar?" If he said no, he'll be in trouble. If he said yes, then he's in concert with the Romans. So this is again the same kind of things they were trying to catch up on Jesus. They said, "This woman is committed in adultery. Shall we stone her?" If he said no, then it's against the law of Moses. If he said yes, then it will be a terrible thing. So he said, should we cast stones on this woman in adultery according to the law of Moses? And they all were actually having stones in their hands, waiting to cast stones on the woman. And what did Jesus do? He was writing, and then he stood up and he said, "He that is without sin, among you, let him cast a stone on her. That really took them by surprise. One by one, they threw down the stones, and from the oldest, they walked away. And when they had gone, Jesus lifted up himself and said, "Woman, where are those that accuse you? Has no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. You see, take yourself to this second scene that we have in this text here. You see, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and this was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is also the Feast of Booths, where the Jews were remembering their deliverance and their time in the 40 days when they left Pharaoh, who had enslaved them. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, they perform a kind of ceremony, and they drew water from the golden pitcher, and they were pouring water to everyone. It commemorated God's provision of water from the rock in the wilderness in the time when the Jews were walking, when Israel was walking in the wilderness. It was in connection with that ceremony that Jesus proclaimed that I am the living waters. Now, at the same feast, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews also perform another ceremony. They lit four huge candelabras, or four torches, in the court of women in the temple. And they were commemorating the time when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, when God gave them a light to guide them in the desert, a cloud by day and a fire by night to protect them and guide Israel in that forest. So the light went forward, and it was a symbol of the fact that God was with them. And here is what Jesus said: "I am the light of the world." Now, what did Jesus mean by that? When he said, "I'm the light of the world," what was the purpose of what Jesus was saying? You see, light in us is what illuminates our lives, what gives us the ability to see and navigate through our lives. The light in us, of Jesus Christ, help us to guide us and navigate through our lives. Let me tell you a story. There was a battleship on the sea, and they suddenly recognized there was another light coming towards them. So the captain of the ship said, "Signal to that light there and say that we are on collision course. Will you change course 20 degrees? And the light from the other side said, "Advise you to change course 20 degrees to the right." And the ship, the battleship said, "I am the captain. change 20 degrees. And the response was, I am seaman second class. You better change course 20 degrees. And the captain of the battleship was very angry. He said, I am battleship. Change course 20 degrees. And the reply was, I am the lighthouse. You make the call. You see, the light of man, according to the word of God, is the life of Christ. The light of Christ is fixed. It is secure. It is unchanging. It is unwavering. It's a light that shines in us. It's the light of Christ that gives us what he came for. Jesus Christ offered himself. He lived on earth for 33 decades, 30 years. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended to the Father. And now Jesus is the light that shines us, that guides us. And it says in the text that we read, darkness does not comprehend light. Darkness does not comprehend light. When the light shines, darkness disappears. Let me tell you another story. There was a university professor. He said to his students, did God create everything that exists? They said, yes, he did. And the professor said, God created everything? Yes, he did. The professor said, God created evil, and so God is evil. And nobody said anything. The professor, of course, was an atheist, doesn't believe in God. And he repeated this. And one day when he repeated this, a student at the back of the class put up his hand. Professor, the student asked, does coal exist? What do you mean by that? Of course coal exists. The young man said, Professor, coal does not exist. According to the laws of physics, coal is the absence of heat. You can have coal up to 460 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's all. That's zero. Whereas heat does exist. Heat you can measure. Coal is when there is no heat. Professor, does darkness exist? Professor said, of course it exists. Professor, you are wrong. Darkness does not exist. Darkness is the absence of light. Light, we can study. You use a prism, you can see the colors of light. But darkness, you cannot measure. So darkness exists when there is no light. And the young man said, Professor, does evil exist? And the professor said, of course. Evil exists, you see it everywhere, of man's inhumanity to man. And the student said, Professor, evil does not exist. It does not exist in itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. Just like darkness and coal, a word that man created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not love God, when there is absence of God. It's like coal when there is no heat or darkness, or when there is light. God exists and evil does not exist. Who is that young man? Albert Einstein. This is what is darkness. evil. Jesus claims that he is the light. Jesus was there at the pool when they were celebrating. And when they were doing this, Jesus said, "I am the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus claims to be the light of the world. The Jews recognized the pillar of cloud, you remember, when they were in the wilderness. The light is often used as a metaphor for God. Remember in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Isaiah 29:2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." And in John, the Lord tells his servant, the Messiah, that he has appointed him to be a light of the nations. Yes, Jesus claims to be the light of the world. He is the light of the world that came to us in human flesh. Jesus also reveals, as the light of the world, he reveals the truth of God to us. He came from the Father, and he will return to the Father. He will come back again as the Father wills him. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Thus Jesus reveals to us the truth of who the Father is and what he is like. As we read in John chapter 2, 24, Jesus knew all men, and he knew what was in man. The fact is, apart from Jesus, we do not know ourselves. The fallen heart is deceptive and desperately wicked. When we do not know God, we call evil good and good evil. We substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Jesus says, if we do not follow him, we walk in darkness. We think we know where we are going, but we are wrong. We deceive ourselves and end up ruining our lives and the lives of those around us. Jesus implies that here the truth is, that in him you have the truth. Paul combines the imagery of darkness and spiritual death when he says that unbelievers are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of heart. Jesus states it positively. He says, "I am the light of life." This means that the light in Jesus imparts life to us. When you are spiritually dead, you need God's resurrection power to impart new life to your soul. Jesus promises that if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light that gives life. Yes, Jesus reveals the truth of God to us and to all people. It is not just the light of the Jews, but the light of the world. He is the only light of the world. Other religions claim to enlighten and give spiritual insight, but they don't deliver. Philosophers speculate about the great questions of life, but they can't offer any true insight because they are in the dark. Paul says in Colossians 2:3, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Wisdom and knowledge applies to all people. Jesus says, He is the light of the world. Apart from Him, people are in spiritual darkness. He means that people can figure out spiritual truth. Only His followers know that in Him there is light. When the Savior gave the Great Commission, He told us to make disciples of all nations. People can't believe unless we go and tell them the good news. When we go with the gospel and pray that God will open spiritually blind eyes, He tells us, He reveals the glory of Christ. The Bible says, when we know Christ, He shines as lights in our eyes, for Jesus is the true light. Jesus, in a way, is like the sun. We are like the moon. He is the source of light. We only shine as we reflect the image of Jesus when we follow Him. As people see Christ reflected in us, we can point them to Him. Jesus makes this astounding claim, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This claim of Jesus requires us to follow Him. To follow Jesus means to trust Him as Savior and to obey Him as Lord. You can't follow someone if you don't trust. Supposing you are hiking in the woods and there are many paths, and someone says this is the way or that is the way, and you do not know whether you know that someone is possibly the person you can trust. But in Jesus Christ, when you are in the woods, when you are in darkness, He is the one you can trust and to obey Him as Lord. When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, when you obey Him as your Lord, He grants you His presence, His protection, and His guidance. Yes, Jesus promised us His presence, especially when we take the gospel to the ends of the world. The Bible tells us we in Christ, that He is in us. If anyone follow me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. As the cloud and fire protect Israel from Pharaoh's advancing army, in the same way, Jesus is our protection. He shelters us from the wrath of God that is coming to unbelievers. He protects us from the spiritual enemies that wage war against our souls. Just as His enemies wanted to seize Him, so Jesus protects us. It's our time to be with Him. As the cloud guided the Israel in the wilderness, in the darkness, so Jesus guides us. He gives us the springs of water. He gives us the light of the world, His Spirit, and the wise counsel. He gives us wisdom as we follow Him in prayer. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world. He reveals the truth. And as we follow Him, as we obey Him, we trust Him, for He gives us His presence, His protection, and His guidance. The Pharisees couldn't believe that. They said, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true." They were ignoring Jesus' miracles, His amazing teaching, the witness of John the Baptist, and all the Old Testament prophecies point to Jesus. You see, there are people who do not want to follow Jesus. The Pharisees are not just raising questions, they are rejecting Him. They want desperately to find an excuse to reject Jesus' claims. Jesus said, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in me, for I am the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am He who testifies about myself, and my Father who sent me testifies about me." John chapter 8, 14 to 18, which we have read in our text. You see, Jesus came from the Father. He came from heaven, and He is returning to heaven. That's why He can claim to be the light of the world. The Pharisees were in the darkness. They judged Jesus outwardly, according to the flesh. Jesus, when He judged us, He did it in truth, because He depended on the Father. Jesus claims that He is not only His own witness, but also of the Father. And the Pharisees again asked Him, "Where is your Father? Where is your Father?" as we have read. They were probably thinking of Jesus' human Father and may have been questioning His paternity based on rumors of His mother's pregnancy. Jesus answers in chapter 8, verse 19 that we read, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you know me, you would know my Father also." The only way we can know God the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. By refusing to follow Jesus, the religious leaders remain in spiritual darkness. In their minds, they had biblical reasons. They had reasons that not to follow Him. They were always having spiritual excuses, superficial excuses, not good reasons to do so. You see, the reason why they rejected Jesus is they were in spiritual darkness, and because their deeds are evil. John 3:19 says, "Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil." Those who do not follow Jesus are living in spiritual and moral darkness. The evidence of spiritual darkness is that you want to get rid of Jesus from your life. In verse 20, but eliminating Christ from your life does not eliminate God as the sovereign of the world. God is sovereign of all things. For one day, every knee will bow before him. The root is that people who reject Jesus is that they love their sin. They don't want the light to expose their evil deeds. Jesus claimed, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How do we understand this? There are two basic reasons why people do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because they have never met a Christian, or they have met a Christian and they were disillusioned by it. Muhammad Gandhi said, I would be a Christian if not for the behavior of some Christians. God forbid that Christian influence may turn away other people. There's a story about a man or a person who was at the traffic lights, and there was a car in front of him. And suddenly the traffic lights turned green, but the car in front of him did not move. So he horned and pounded his wheel, and he pounded his steering wheel, and he horned and horned and horned. And suddenly the light went amber, and the car moved. And this person in the car behind was so furious, he overtook the car and drove at speed for half an hour, not realizing that behind him was a police car. And the police car drove forward and chased after him and stopped him half a mile away. And the police knocked on the door and said, is this your car? And sheepishly he said, yes, it's my car. Show me your driving license. And the police established that the man who had driven so fast through the traffic lights was the correct person. And the policeman said, you see, we saw the labels on your car which says, choose life. What would Jesus do? Follow me to Sunday school. And the police said, we wondered, this cannot be the person who owns the car. He has such nice traffic labels on his car. And the police said to the man, drive carefully next time. Yes. The light that is in us must shine not only in our workplace, but in our neighborhood and in our homes. Jesus is ready to relight your candle. He's willing to shine a light in you. He wants to come to you with forgiveness and grace and offer us the opportunity to be the light in this dark and dying world. In a world of darkness and sin, Jesus is a light which people are saved from being lost. Jesus is also the light when we share the good news to each and everyone. For in the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." Another way is when we want to live in this world and live in our church, is to live in harmony with each and everyone. We are willing to be the light of the world when we allow Jesus to shine in our hearts. We can do that by sharing the love of Christ with those around us. We can share the good news of Jesus to our friends and neighbors. We can show the world how God wants us to relate to each other. It's a challenge to us. Are we willing to be that light? Yes, the light of the world in Jesus promised to give us the assurance of salvation. As true believers of the light, we will never follow the ways of sin, neither live in a state of continuing sinning. We repent and we stay close to the light. The second is that when we reflect the light of life, He came to us. He commands us to be light as well, to be the light of the world. Just as the moon has no light of its own, reflecting the light of the sun, so we as believers reflect the light of Christ in us. The light is evident to others by the way we live in faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us maintain a credible and obvious witness in the world, in the community around us, trusting always to God and being ready to give an account of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. That all may benefit and all may leave the darkness and come into the light of the world, in Jesus Christ. Amen.